Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 6. Today we're going to look back on a few matches, we're going to look forward a few matches, talk some news and notes, and we're going to go shopping in the bargain bin. This is the IPL Fantasy Podcast. Here we go.
Hey, welcome back. On, wait, what, have you watched a lot of the matches? Have you been actually watching them?
I think I've watched the majority of every match. My morning routine usually allows me to see at least the first half, mostly uninterrupted, but sometimes I have to switch over to a tracker. I like the QuickBuzz tracker. I feel like it gives a lot of good commentary along with the plays. So if anybody's listening and you're just watching for a play-by-play, that's the one that I use. You get a lot of like actual typed out commentary. It doesn't just say, you know, one run to deep mid wicket. You might have comments and they're like, you know, this one's fuller on length, goes high, just out of the reach of so-and-so, you know, so that, you know, gives you a better visual to the game. So if I'm not watching, I'm watching in my brain all the way up here.
Yeah. I think even it's even nice. Like if you don't know that much about cricket, to read that kind of stuff and get used to the language.
There is so much just like jargon with cricket that I think probably the first season that I played when I was seeing that stuff, I was just back and forth between whatever they were talking about and Google. Like, you know, just, it's like, okay, I got to find out what does that mean? And then when you find out that the term wicket can literally mean like five different things, it can get confusing, but I think it's an easy way to learn the game. So if you're still catching up with us, you know, if you're still trying to think, a tracker a lot of times is easier than watching on TV because everything's so, you know, defined and it's always visible. Sometimes when you're watching the games on TV, you know, they take away the run rate or they take away, you know, some piece of information to replace it with the run rate, let's say. So, you know, they're talking about something, but it's not necessarily on the screen. All that stuff being right there on like a game tracker is definitely helpful for me.
So, Whit, let's talk about the three matches that have happened so far. Another little note about the podcast. We're going to talk about matches 16 through 19 today, but actually matches 14 and 15 haven't happened yet. We're recording Wednesday, our time. So,
yeah, there's a bit of an overlap.
Right. So we're going to just talk about those three that have happened so far since the last show, which is match 11, 12, and 13. With two of those, the results surprised me. One of them didn't. Can you guess which one was the one where the results did not surprise me?
Ooh. Capitals versus Titans?
I actually was expecting the Super Kings to win.
Oh, okay. No, I could see that.
Yeah, I thought they came out strong in the first match and were pretty well matched to Gujarat. And then playing at home, like if the Gujarat stadium was half filled with Super Kings fans, you know the Super Kings stadium is going to be loaded.
The fortress,
so I think
yeah.
The home field advantage there certainly helped.
Now, I have a shoulder-to-shoulder across the back Lucknow Supergiants tattoo, so I forget that there's an opportunity for them to lose on any given game. So that's kind of a double surprise for me, but...
You're literally carrying the Super Giants on your back.
I try. Sometimes you have to. Sometimes they don't do their job.
Well, speaking of carrying the Super Giants on their back,
oh my gosh,
Rahul's certainly not doing it. So no. I'm loving Kyle Mayers and Mark Wood.
Oh my gosh, the night and day difference on one team. Like I think every team has those players that do really well, especially even consistency. And then that player is just like, how do they make the starting 11 constantly? The problem is that Kale Rahul, he's the captain, right? Like, and he's a veteran. It should kind of be the other way around, but what KL stands for, what kills your lineup. Like this is, it's a disaster. Like he sucks up so many credits and his good game was 20 on 18. That's barely over 100 strike rate. That wouldn't get you in the starting 11 if you were a rookie. So, like, he has to do better. And I think he will, but I'm not real sure that I'm going to tie up my budget and my transfers until I've seen some level of consistency. Did you watch either game? Were you watching live when he batted either time?
Yeah, I did see. I saw him bat.
He doesn't look comfortable. He looks out of rhythm. Yeah.
You said that after the first match that he didn't look comfortable. And I don't know that I would have noticed it in the second match if you hadn't said that, but you're right.
I hate that.
Something's like, keeping him from being his normal KL Rahul.
Yeah, you know what he's capable of. And I hate that with these batters that, like, especially if you have them in your lineup and God forbid you've captained them and you see them just flailing if they're an opener or something like that. And it's just like, you know, you're just relieved when they tap for a single, because this is like they're all those swing and misses, you know, when they get beaten at the crease, it's like, oh God, when is this going to end? There's no way it's going to go wrong. It's not going to go long. And I feel like KL Rahul is doing that to you right now. So I'm off KL Rahul until I don't even know that one game makes me buy back in, unless it's just an eruption and somebody can point to something that he's changed the technique, or, you know, he's been dealing with an illness or something like that. I don't know, but it's going to have to take a start change.
There's a few players like that that we're going to talk about today, but especially when you have on the same team, so playing every match, you have Kyle Mayers, who's second in line for the orange cap right now behind Gaikwad.
Yes.
And you have Mark Wood, who is first in line for the purple cap. So I don't see a lot of people playing Rahul again until he's got a couple good knocks under his belt.
Yeah, I think Kyle Mayers is probably become my favorite player, and at least as far as like surprise players this year. He's on my favorite team. He's performing the best of the places where these people come from. I've only been to the West Indies, not Barbados, where I know he's from, but at least I've seen Barbados from the sky. It's like, you know, I'm at least aware geographically, you know, where that is in my life. So, you know, I'm kind of attaching myself to him. He'll be a staple in my lineup unless he just falls off a cliff. But he bowled two overs. He didn't get any wickets, but he's got a great pace. And they were using him at relatively critical times in the match. It's not like they had the match under control and they were just burning a couple of death overs on him or whatever, just to see what he's got. Like, they were intentionally using him in some of those matchups. I'm not counting on those, you know, wicket attempts, those bowling overs. But on the other side of this game was a total surprise to me as far as holding back on those all-rounders. We spent a whole segment on that these all-rounders are becoming unpredictable. But Moeen Ali not only batted well, but got four wickets, all of which seemed like they were like critical wickets. Stole the show. Obviously, he was the man of the match. There was no doubt to me, I think, when he got the third one, and then he just added a fourth wicket to it. And he didn't do anything in the first match. So which is the real Moeen Ali? What do you think?
Moeen Ali 2 years ago was solid gold for fantasy. And then last year, he was a little more hit and miss, a little slower. And I know I remember that bite me in the ass last year. I'd certainly rather put him in my lineup than Jadeja at this point, because I haven't seen anything from him.
Sure. I mean, you got one guy mowing him down and then another guy basically not doing anything.
You're on fire tonight.
Hey, you know, two in the first segment. I feel good. We'll see. Maybe it's the sleep deprivation. But if you're picking an all-rounder for CSK, I don't feel great about either option just because of the up and down we've seen with Moeen. And these guys are put in position with a game plan. So I think sometimes that game plan, you know, it changes on the fly. Maybe in the first match, the pitch just wasn't great for Moeen's style of bowling and he was written out. Or maybe it's possible that whoever he was supposed to bowl against, whoever his matchup nightmare is, was gone and it didn't make any sense anymore. And unfortunately, reasonably so, there's not a whole lot of information pre-match to guess that. You see a lot of, you know, anticipated starting 11s, you know, who you think is going to be in the game. Obviously, Moeen's going to be listed there, but it doesn't tell you and expect four overs out of the guy. Just with caution, proceed with Moeen over Jadeja if you want either one of them. But in that match, if you had, you know, only Kyle Mayers in an all-rounder spot, you were just fine. You didn't need Moeen, but obviously Moeen put anybody who started him over the top.
One thing about Moeen, they do play Lucknow again, and he took out his four His four wickets were against four of their players that are going to play in every match: Rahul, Mayers, Krunal Pandya, and Stoinis. At very least, on that match, I'm going to put it back in.
If you had two guys starting in that match, or do three in that match: Mark Wood, Kyle Mayers, and Moeen Ali. And there's 600 points if it goes well. Anything else you want to talk about on that match?
No, that's good. The next match did surprise me a little bit. I kind of expected DC at home was going to get the best of Gujarat, that they kind of had a bad outing on their first match. But I was pleasantly surprised to see Gujarat kind of handle the game beginning to end. Not too much problem.
There's a calmness with Gujarat that even when it looks like they're not playing well, they just kind of keep chugging along.
I wish there was that you got fantasy points if a captain, like the not your fantasy captain, but the team's actual captain, like Pandya, if their team won, you get like 20 points for good captainship. Because he seems like, even though he's not playing that well, he still like has a real steady hand as a captain.
Yeah, Hardik is not what we want to see right now. This is one of those players that there's going to be a sea change and he's going to look amazing, and it'll be at a time when he's not in your lineup. But the one thing about him is that being the captain, he directly involves himself. I think it's two matches in a row. He's bowled three overs, even when he's not necessarily been the best bet on the team at the time. But he's, you know, staying included in that. He bats at, you know, a good spot in the order. It has to turn around. But it's just, man, what do you need to see before you're willing to burn a transfer and, you know, start taking up space and credits on your team for him?
You know, one thing about Gujarat is I'm comparing him to, say, KL Rahul or Jadeja, even players, Indian players who are typically great for fantasy and for their teams, who are struggling in these first two matches. I want to see them all, any of those three that I just mentioned, have a good match. Either get a wicket, at the very least, get a wicket or get 30 runs before I'm ready to bring him in. The one difference with Hardik is on Gujarat, their team is really kind of all around good. There hasn't been anyone on that team like a Kyle Mayers or a Mark Wood or even a Moeen Ali who I'm like, oh, well, why would I put Jadeja in when I have this other player from the team who I can put in instead? Sai Sudarshan had a great game. He's uncapped. I'm not going to expect that from him every game, but as an uncapped, I'll certainly put him in.
Yeah, he's cheap too. He's only 7 credits.
Rashid Khan's really reliable, so I probably would put him in over Hardik next time around if I need to fill that all-rounder spot. And then I really liked David Miller coming out. It's just basically stepping off the plane, putting on his jersey, and coming out on the field. Yeah. Jet-lagged from playing in Europe, and he finished the game for him.
Yeah. Now, the one thing on this game that I was confused about is I've got whatever that condition is where you can't tell the difference between white people on a cricket field. And I kept getting confused when I would see Mitch Marsh and Henrik Nokia getting ready to bowl until they actually got in close on him. So there were times I thought I was doing really well because unfortunately I was still sitting on Mitch Marsh. But there was another surprise at all rounder. He got three. He would have had four overs. He bowled at the end of the game. I think so. He was like 3.1 overs. But that's when Gujarat overtook DC and the game was over. So I guess maybe he would have bowled four, but maybe they just didn't have much faith in that. But I'll tell you what, Nokia looks legit. We talked about him preseason, and I think we might have mentioned him in episode 4 last week as we were getting ready for some of these matches to look for him when he comes available. He was another guy that obviously he capitalized. I think he had 2 wickets. But they brought him in at very critical times when they're trying to stop or eliminate big batters from GT. So I think he's going to be somebody to keep an eye on. And then I'm not surprised at all. On the other side of that, as far as bowling, is that Mohammad Shami just continues to look super solid. They treat him, yeah. I feel like they treat Shami like he's the best bowler on the team. You know, they threw him out there early to try to stifle DC, and he had David Warner on his heels immediately. I think David Warner probably should have been put out in like his first 10 runs. He ended up with 37, which is crazy. David Warner's not usually one of the best looking batters as far as power and timing, mm-hmm. but he hangs in there. He broke that magic 30. You get that first booster, or not your first booster, your first points bonus after 30 runs. So you're always looking for that out of your batters. And he got to 37 and looked bad. So I'm steady on the mustache man for now. There's other players that I was more than happy to drop, and I'll sit on him because he turns around for another match before terribly long.
True. And Shami, one thing to note about him is he got his first wicket in this match in over number 2, and he got his last wicket in over number 19.
Yes. So he came back in
him out anywhere they need him.
Yeah, I think he was very specifically put in because of his style during the power play, and it was mm-hmm. effective. So he kind of did what he was supposed to do. It, because he's so good and he can play the field well, they just, you know, as far as using an impact player or something, they didn't need to make any big changes. It was like, hey, you know, wickets are good at this point. We're probably going to win the game. We held DC down pretty well. Even though they did score some decent runs, why not throw your best bowler out there? He's got overs left. So, he's been valuable for sure so far. Anybody else in that match?
No, I'm ready to move on to today, the day we're recording today's match.
Yeah. Yep. Tell us about those Royals and those Kings, Mark.
I think a lot of people were surprised by this match. Royals playing at home on a pitch that's supposed to be a huge batting pitch. And
I think it was
for the other team. I think everyone in our league went heavy on Rajasthan, and everyone except Witt faded on Punjab, and that paid off nicely, didn't it, Witt?
Yeah.
DeJuan.
Yeah, don't turn your back on DeJuan. First of all, I've mentioned this before. He looks very angry in his little profile picture. So he's not the kind of person, if he was mean mugging you on the street like that, I probably wouldn't turn my back on him. So I'm not going to do it in IPL either. He is now one of only 3 players, David Warner being one of the others, with 50 half centuries in IPL. Just one of the most consistent batters that the league has ever seen. He positions himself well. He had at least one catch today, and he just carried the Kings after Singh went out, the other opener. They were just racking him up, and man, that looked like it was just going to be the most exciting thing ever when the Royals came out for the second half. I had stacked Butler, Jaiswal, and Sanju, which I thought were going to be the opening trio on that side. And then right away, they threw us a heart attack. Butler sits out his spot, at least for a short bit, with an injury from a catch. Not a one of those guys looked like they were in rhythm. Butler didn't look good right from the get-go. He has the power, but he looked like he was being just deceived. I don't know if that was an injury thing or if it's just a pressure thing. Maybe they just assumed, like we did, that a 200 is no big deal for Rajasthan to run down in a game like this. Yeah. But Jaiswal out super early. And Sampson did well, but he didn't ever really look terribly settled in either. All those guys just looked like they were on their heels right from the get-go.
Yeah, I was wondering if that injury affected Butler's batting at all. But, I mean, it also just happens. I mean, Butler's the best, for fantasy, the best player last year. But he still had his down games.
Yeah, I'm not scared of Butler by any means, as far as like, I'm not going to fade him. I think keep an eye on him. If there's news for some reason that whatever his injury was threatens his status for games in the future, like we'll try to let you know. But, you know, maybe throw a Google News search at Josh Butler before you set your lineup, you know, you have to, without actually seeing the declared starting 11. Make sure he's announced, I guess, if you're going to go all in on him. But I don't want to discount that the Kings bowlers are just menaces. So in back-to-back matches now for the Punjab Kings, Arshdeep Singh and Nathan Ellis were the player of the match, and deservedly so. So Ellis, obviously, he took out, it seemed like, every big name for Rajasthan today.
Yeah.
So he had 3 wickets, I believe, but they were super, like, they were the killers. It just annihilated Rajasthan's chances, it seemed like. And then Arshdeep still had 2 wickets of his own. So I think he's up to 6 on the year or something. It's just like, you know, they've got guys on that side that are just bowling lights out. And for a pitch that was proven in the first half of the inning to be batter friendly, I think those guys are probably going to give any batter a hard time.
Yeah, Dhawan looked great, but the bowlers really, really want it for Punjab. I mean, he set him up with an excellent number to defend. One thing I like about Dhawan, he kind of reminds me of David Warner, what you were saying about him. It wasn't until the death overs that he really started hitting 4s and 6s. Just kept a nice consistent bat, let the other guys hit it real hard and then get dismissed. And that's a great spot for fantasy.
And yeah, it's like, okay, I've got 60. I feel like I'm happy with our number. The next guy up is also going to bat aggressive. So he can just at will essentially turn up his run rate instead of, you know, hitting for those singles and doubles, try for those boundary shots. But the only other big one from that is Rajapaksa went out. So speaking of Shikhar Dhawan hitting bullets, he fired one right back to his battery partner there. Took off the forearm, it looked like, and he left the game. I've never been hit with a cricket ball, much less one that came off of a bat. But
it came off of Shikhar Dhawan's bat.
I don't think that's something I'm going to go down there and try to catch with my, you know, I'm not going to try to catch it with my freaking teeth. that's going to change the way you look for a long time, I think, if you catch one of those to the face. But last I had seen, there was no official news on what his injury status was. But for a guy that I had high hopes for today, I was trying to work my roster out to get him in.
Yeah.
So I lucked out. But, you know, an injury out with, what, 5 runs, I think. He hurt you, and he got hurt, and he might not be back for the next match or so. So keep an eye on him.
Yeah, I said that Dhawan should have gotten the wicket on that one.
And you're out via the hospital. Let's move
on.
All
right. So
that's kind of some news.
What else is going on? Wait, you've got a couple of notes here of interest.
So Dhoni had a short appearance in that game with just this past game. But he was swinging as soon as he came in. I mean, I think he came in at what, like 19.1 overs, something like that. And but in that process, he managed to score now over his 5,000th IPL run. So that's how long this dude's been doing it, and been doing it well.
That's incredible.
I don't know for sure that nobody else has done that. I'm assuming nobody else has done that because he didn't mention anybody else when he pulled it off.
No.
5,000 IPL runs. Have you done anything in your life 5,000 times?
Like, wake up, I guess.
Maybe. You know? Not as well as he's done. Yeah.
As well, no. Nope.
So, you know, we've talked about Dhoni, and we hold him up as a special character in this IPL thing. So especially if you're new and you're getting to know him and, you know, his presence in IPL, it was fun seeing that, you know, that fanfare. Every time he comes on the field, there's fanfare. But he's a great captain, he's a great player, and hit just a seemingly absurd milestone, and he's been at it for so long, like, so that should tell you how tough that is. Mark's team name is even, you know, as his namesake, so that's how special he is to us. I mentioned that Shikhar got his 50th 50 in the IPL. That was a big one. I was happy to capitalize on that, but there were only 2 other players, David Warner, and I'm blanking on the other one, who have done that. So that's another sort of, you know, big accomplishment in terms of players hitting milestones so far this season.
What else? Patidar. For Royal Challengers has been officially ruled out for the season. So has Shreyas Iyer, unfortunately, the skipper for KKR. I guess they're going to continue with Rana for now. I feel bad for KKR. They seem like they just got kind of kneecapped before the season started.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot when I look at their roster that I'm like, I'm playing this guy every time he comes around, unfortunately. Not right now, anyway. There's plenty of opportunity there because they made a move as a result.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and signed. He's an English, I guess he's a batsman, Jason Roy. He's an opener. He is not available for the next coming match, though. He'll come in, I'm assuming, because they went and got him, that they're going to try to make him available as soon as possible. He's done well. He's got, I think, I want to say he had like a dozen 50s or so in the league he most recently played in. Like, he seems like somebody to keep an eye on. And sometimes when you're picking players, if he really is going to bat as an opener, that's a luxury right there. So we'll see when he gets entered into the Dream 11 system, you know, his credits and stuff like that. But I guess he's going to be an overseas player, so he does come with that little bit of a crutch. You know, take that for what it's worth.
Yep. And then Abhishek Porel replaced Rashabh Pant at DC. Was this his first match? Was he not in the first one?
I don't think so. But he did well. Not spectacular, but 20 on 11. And he's an inexpensive placeholder if you just need a wicket keeper. He looks super young. I think he's only like 20 years old. So it's weird to see him on the same field as, you know, David Warner or, you know, MS Dhoni or something like that.
Yeah, that's another tough one. I mean, Pant is a much loved player also. I mean, not to Dhoni levels, but his accident, I think I heard one of the announcers saying that when news came out that he was in that car accident, that all of India held their breath for a minute.
I could see it.
Wish him luck and DC.
He'll be back at some point. Maybe if you're new this year, you won't get to see him, but he'll be back.
Speaking of DC.
Let's move on.
Yeah, so let's start talking about the upcoming matches. So we're going to talk about the weekend matches today, Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
The first match, match 15 on Saturday, Rajasthan's up again, coming out against DC. Hopefully, you played a bunch of Rajasthan players today, even though they didn't come off so well. Just holding for a couple matches, and you've got Butler again. You got your Hollywood again. They can redeem themselves a little bit.
And they will, to some degree. I can't imagine that both of them, between the two of them, certainly one of them is going to do better, but then so will the entirety of Rajasthan as far as like the star players. You know, Butler might struggle one more time, but I don't think Butler, Sanju, and Jaiswal are all going to struggle the same game again. Like, that's just statistically very unlikely. And they get a relatively short turnaround, which I think is good for players that are struggling. You know, those long gaps seems to hurt players more if they're not, you know, in form yet. But the other reason that I like this game is, one, it's, like you said, a quick turnaround. So hopefully you're still sitting on a good number of Royals players. I personally had to move Butler off of my roster after today to make moves because he's just so expensive and he's an overseas player. But now I only have to add one guy to like pretty much reload for another match. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is because I think of those three guys that I mentioned, Butler, Sampson, and Jaiswal, that with this being an early match, so what time did you say that? That's 4 o'clock your time. You know, not as everybody's as dedicated if you're in mountain time, 6 a.m. here. There's still not a lot of dedicateds there to get those rosters set prior to the match after, you know, the bat flip and the players are announced. But you can feel pretty confident in those three. So if you're just – and then also to Hollywood too. So there's four people you can have in that match that are like 99% to play as long as Butler doesn't have some kind of weird flare-up with that injury. But I would imagine you would know before you'd have to go to bed and set your lineup about him.
And what if you're picking up one player from Delhi for that game? Like, let's say you've already got three Royals on your team from the previous match, but you want to pick up one Capital. Who are you going with?
If it's just one and you can afford the space because it's a caveat that he's an overseas, but I'm going with Warner. We've kind of already tapped on that. It's just one of those guys that he bats early, he bats slow, but he tends to stick around. So if you just need somebody on the other side of the ball, you know, maybe you've got Cho Hollywood in there and you cannibalize yourself and he takes him out. But, you know, I feel like he's just steady. And sometimes when you're playing with these fireworks players, you know, these guys that you're hoping for big points out of, it's nice to kind of sort of handcuff that with a guy who's should be good for 30, You know, there's no reason he can't do that every single game. There's going to be a couple where he's a little worse, and there's going to be games where he goes big. But I think like 30 to 40 is probably a decent benchmark for Warner. It just kind of sucks that in this particular game, that's probably not something that you're interested in captaining or vice captaining, but maybe it is if you like to play a captain and vice captain on both sides.
Yeah, the only one I might play instead of Warner is Nokia. When they played Titans, he took out the top two batters, and so they might put him up against those top batters at Rajasthan, and might give you a bit of insurance that if Butler or Jaiswal or Sanju get out early, at least you got a decent chance of having the guy who gets the wicket.
I guess you can look at it that way, or it's just too much mental torture for me to be rooting for both sides at the same time. Yeah. Like, you know, maybe by the time Nokia comes in, he's, you know, you got Butler on one half of the battery mate, and then, you know, somebody way down, maybe, you know, Shimron, Hitmeyer or somebody is his battery mate at that point in time. So you're just hoping that he gets a wicket, but it's the other guy, you know. So that'd be the only reason I'd sort of sidestep him, is so that I think I used the term already, but so they don't cannibalize each other out of the game too fast. But hey, I guess that's the silver lining, is that if you lose one of your players, hopefully one of your bowlers gets the 25 points for the wicket. Yep. The only other player I wanted to mention on that match is I'm still undecided on Trent Bolt. So he had a match early, their first game, where not only did he have two wickets, but it was a maiden over real early in the game, which felt like it just cemented the game for Rajasthan, took like all the weight off of everybody else. But then pre-match today, when he was playing against Punjab, in an interview, one of the announcers asked him about his history of getting a wicket in the first over. I guess he tends to do that pretty regularly. And he's like, oh, no, you probably just jinxed me. And sure enough, he didn't get one. And I don't think he got any wickets today. So it's like, you know, man, I don't know that you could really have, you couldn't ask for a better over from that first game. Two wickets and a maiden. So, I mean, if you'd have captained that guy, you're looking at like 75 points by the end of the first over. It'd be more than that. Like, you know, if you'd captained him, that was more of those are like vice captain's numbers.
Sure.
It's just, he's exciting, but these bowlers like that, they're just, you can get hot and cold on them, and it can be frustrating. So, if you want to go in on Trent Butler, I salute you. I'm not going to tell you that's a bad call.
Trent Bolt.
But he didn't show it to me today, so I'm not typically that excited for a guy like that. But let's look at the 17th match, the Mumbai Indians versus the Chennai Super Kings, a match of history.
Yeah, I like this stat you threw up here, Whit. Rohit Sharma is the worst fantasy cricket play so far.
Yes. Yeah. So he's 11 credits. He's the captain, right? So like he's in every game. If you know, don't do any research, if you don't pay attention to us or somebody else, and you just go into this blind, I think especially for Mumbai's first game, you would have seen probably a really high percentage next to his name of people who are starting him. And he comes with, you know, a high credit number. So everything points to like, hey, this should be great, right?
Yeah.
So far as I could tell, he's the only player,
not so much,
in Dream 11 with negative points right now. So
yeah,
if you have played him multiple times, especially, you know, 11 credits holding that much hostage, and he's literally costing you points to be on your team. Ooh, I'm out.
I don't have as much faith in Rohit Sharma to come back and be great for fantasy. I know he's one of the best cricket players in the world. I'm not knocking his talent and skill and all that, but as far as fantasy goes, he's never been as high as some of these other guys we've talked about who are cold right now, but might get hotter.
Yeah, it's fine to just wait and see on that one.
Otherwise, Super Kings, I mean, You're going to play Gaekwad. Why wouldn't you? Whit, how do you feel about any other particular players in this match?
So he showed you what he's capable of, but Tilak Varma is an uncapped player. So
yeah,
especially if you aren't really sure who you want to use that uncap on for this match, I think he's your highest ceiling. It's always nice to have guys that can come out and do what he did. Let's face it, most uncapped players are just not even capable in reality.
There's no other uncapped player, even Super Kings, that I'm excited to play the way I am Tilak Varma. So he's going to have a huge percent rostered.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And take advantage of the uncaps. This is Tilak Varma is exactly what uncaps are supposed to be used for in terms of our strategy. Getting a guy onto your team that doesn't cost you a transfer that might outperform literally everybody else you started that day. And it's totally reasonable that would happen.
Yep.
But I think you're still okay with Surya Kumar, Big Sky. You're fine with him. Obviously, you already mentioned Gaekwad. Is he still the top batter so far this season?
The orange cap right now.
Yeah, he just came in form, so obviously you can go with him, and he's not that expensive. I think he's like 9.5 credits or something like that. So there's plenty to play with here. But Mark, you kind of had an idea about this match that is a little tantalizing.
Yeah, I've been very interested this year in the boosters. They have one new booster that I haven't seen since I started playing, and that's the Indian 2x Indian players boosters. There's always been the overseas, or well, at least last year there was an overseas boosters. There was an uncapped booster last year. There's never been an Indian one, and that's interesting to me because I think it's pretty easy to get four overseas players on your team to use the overseas boosters. But for Indian, I mean, you could potentially get 11 players and basically have another double your entire team.
Yes.
And I was just looking at different combinations of teams, and I really kind of like the Mumbai Indians versus Super Kings. I'm not going to use it on this match because some of these players we've been talking about, I mean, Mumbai looked like a dumpster fire when they came out. Excuse me. But they play each other again later in the season, like in the match in the 50s or 60s. And by then, we'll know better for sure. But if you're trying to fill out an entire roster with Indian players, let's see, you've got as your wicketkeeper, Ishan Kishan. He's typically pretty good.
You can do it, but on the other side, that's where I was thinking when you mentioned this. the weakness that I have here, if I'm going to use this, is at wicketkeeper. Ishan Kishan, he's kind of one of those steady guys. I think he went for 10 the last time he was up. But your other option is MS Dhoni. You don't want to have to count on, but if you just really want to get excited, if you're watching the game and he gets a chance to bat, if he gets a chance to close, and hopefully he has like three overs left, something like that, you're going to have
you're going to feel real good about yourself playing Dhoni as your wicketkeeper in the classic Mumbai versus Super Kings when you're also playing your Indian booster. I mean,
it's got magic.
It's about as Indian as you can get.
It's got magic written all over it. You know, don't put in Sharma. Don't do that.
I'm expecting again. I'm looking at the names. You know, Rohit Sharma. He's a great player. Of course, I wouldn't play him in this match after last time. But I'm expecting him to come around. But then you've got Big Sky. You've got Tilak Varma. You have Gaekwad. Over on the Super King side.
Yeah.
And then looking down your all-rounders, Jadeja, again, he hasn't been great yet. We're still only two matches in, though. I expect him to turn it around. Shivam Dubé has been decent so far. And then bowlers.
I think with Dubé, though, you got to watch out because he didn't play in the first match.
Yeah.
So he might be a matchups guy when they're looking for for bowling thing. And on the Mumbai side, you only have Cameron Green, who is also a little unproven so far. But Jadeja should be better. He absolutely should be better.
Yeah, right. This is expecting that Jadeja's coming around. And then your bowlers, you have some pretty good options too. I don't have it open right now I'm trying to remember who they were, but I mean, Deepak Chahar is another one who's typically pretty good, but he's just had a rough start. Shokin, same sort of thing. I think there's a great potential there, and it's one I'm going to keep my eye on going forward as far as potential options that maybe don't seem that great.
Unfortunately, with this particular match, like, there's a lot of good Indian players, a couple of great Indian players, but the best players available, like, at the all-rounder position, like Moeen Ali, we already talked about him. You know, you want to take advantage of him being an overseas, and then your boy Jofra Archer, in theory, could be one of the biggest booms in bowlers when he comes back. So I like the idea. I'm not afraid of it. At some point, it's definitely going to make sense. I'm with you, though. I'm not doing that this early in the season.
Yeah, and I don't get me wrong. I'm not recommending playing the Indian booster on this match.
Okay.
I don't want anyone to misunderstand me there.
No, but I think that's good for our show, is that we start, you know, we talk about these boosters, and that there's a logic, and, you know, if you're going to use a booster that can play 11 players, you better play 11 players. So here's a match where that's doable without too much heartache. You know, I suppose there's a situation where you use the Indian booster and only like 9 of your players are Indian, but they're the 9 best players in the league in a different matchup or something like that. Maybe outscore that 11. But I want all 11 chances when it comes up. So here's more or less just an illustration of kind of the thought process on how and when to use one of those boosters. If you want to pull the trigger on it, you know, now or in the future, just something to think about.
Yep. And that's another reason I like to bank transfers a little bit. If I'm going to try to get 11 players in a match somewhere down the line, I'm going to have to use more than 2 transfers.
Probably.
Which is, you get 2 transfers per match. I mean, you'd have to do a lot of planning to not use more. So at the beginning, when you're not as sure about some of these players, like Rohit Sharma, just save your transfers a little bit. All right, next one.
Yep.
Gujarat, AKR. Yep, I'm holding off on Hardik. We don't need to talk about him anymore.
Yeah, but on that all-rounder case, you know, you already mentioned him too, Rashid Khan. Is he a start? Not necessarily a must start, but is he a start every time the Titans play now? He's an overseas player, and he's a 10.5 credit hold. So he's outperforming probably most all-rounders, but that's expensive, and he's an overseas, taking up 2 sort of critical parts of your roster build-out. But he's just good, and they seem to really like him. So
yeah, there's nobody else on that team right now who I'm more confident that if I put him in my captain's position, I'm at least going to walk away feeling pretty good about it, even if he doesn't knock it out of the park. He seems pretty bust-proof. He has a pretty high floor.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're watching.
10.5 credits, though. That's even with Andre Russell, for example.
Sure. So, you have to start making that sort of consideration. So Andre Russell's playing in the same game. We've yet to see him bowl. He will bowl at some point. He's going to bowl. He's a great pacer. But supposedly this track for this match is slowing down. It's probably better for the seamers. But I think Andre Russell could probably overcome a little bit of that. So I think he'll bowl. It'll just mostly be when they have a match that's best to exploit somebody who's weak against pace. And that can happen at any venue. It's just a matter of when they plan it on slotting him in. But keep an eye on him. We talked about the strategy before, about if he's going to field first or if he's going to bat first. So especially if they're fielding first and you can do the math like a Glenn Maxwell situation and see like, hey, there's five pure bowlers out on the field with him, fade him a little bit. That's not to take away what he can do with the bat. He is a better batsman than Rashid Khan, but there's zero doubt that Rashid Khan is going to be used in the bowling game and then probably end up in he'll bat and he swings. I think you brought him up the last game with three balls. He had a six and a four. So like he'll put the wood on it and go, you know, way more wood than Hardik right now, but he, you know, is more reliable, but maybe less exciting. And at 10 and a half to 11 credits, it's kind of a wash. If you're trying to find a half a credit to fit somebody else in there, maybe that's the difference. Maybe that's for sure when you go to Khan.
Yeah. Unless something with the toss and the pitch really convinced me, I think I'll play Khan over Russ in this match.
Can't say I blame you. You've got some other big names in here. Shubman Gill didn't look great in this last outing, but he has been great. Yeah, he came into the season in form. I'm not worried about him. If you don't want to play him, then fine. I get it. He kind of spooked us on that last matchup, but he's going to be just fine. KKR does have some bowlers, so he'll be under attack early, but he's good. So I'm not super worried about playing him. If you want to save a little bit, if you want to try some less important pieces, Nitish Rana, he's the captain now, at least acting captain. He's been looking good. And then so is Venkatesh Iyer. Not to be confused with Shreyas Iyer. Venkatesh Iyer is playing and they've looked good. I just don't think they have the potential that Shubman Gill has for this match or any other match.
Do you remember where Venkatesh played in the lineup where he batted?
Not 100% sure. Let's look that up right now.
Did he bowl? My other question. That was, in case you're wondering, that was one of the matches I didn't get to watch.
So, let's see here. I mean, it's been so long since they played. I had to scroll for that. So Iyer came up fourth, which is great. And then Nitish Rana came up just behind him.
And neither of them bowled.
But he did not bowl.
I'm afraid that they are going to be two players who can bowl. But in the past, they haven't always bowled. Like even last year when you didn't have the impact player, there were most matches Rana didn't bowl. And I don't remember exactly, but Venkatesh probably bowled a couple overs most matches. I'm afraid they're both going to be all-rounders who are just not really all-rounders. That you're going to be counting on their batting. That being said, they both bowl in the top five, at least they did last time. So they both had decent outings too, batting. Yeah. So you could play them, but I would not be surprised if you don't see either of them bowl very much.
Nope. And the only other player that I'll throw out there for KKR, I'm not even going to attempt his first name. But last name Gurbaz, he's a wicket keeper. And the only reason I like that is because he had a decent outing, 22 on 16.
Ramanula.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. I would have stumbled on it.
I only know because I kind of got a hankering because I didn't know who he was and I looked him up.
Okay.
And he is ranked really high batting in the ICC. He's a star for Afghanistan. And so I put him in last match as like my differentiator. Oh, nobody's going to have heard of this guy. And he did pretty well.
Yeah, I said 22 on 16. And he's a wicketkeeper.
I like that.
So, I'm not telling you to play him over any of these other guys necessarily, but especially wicketkeepers. Sometimes you're just kind of placeholding on a wicketkeeper. And he's relatively inexpensive. The problem is that he's an overseas, so he holds that. But if you're, I like your term differential pick. Sometimes you got to do that. Especially if you're trying to chase down the leader in your league, if you just always play the same players they are, you don't make up any points. So when you have sort of predictable picks, like did anybody who started Josh Butler today not have him in their as their captain in our league?
I doubt it.
I don't think so. So like that doesn't help you. And I'm not advocating that you do that, especially this early in the season. But if you need to make differences, sometimes you got to reach on somebody a little bit. And that's just one of those choices that's a little more interesting to me than others. But let's move on to the Sunrisers and Punjab Kings. Got a little bit of news with this match.
So this is the second match on Sunday. I'm excited to see Aiden Markram back. He was outrageous at the ODI that he was missing first few matches for. I'm not really excited about Sunrisers other than that.
Yeah, I mean, if you need a batter, always for Sunrisers is Umrah Malik on the bowling side. Somebody has a lot of potential. Dawan, obviously, is back. He should have been the man of the match in the game today if it weren't for Ellis just being, you know, an absolute wrecker with the ball. But there's a couple of interesting things to look at in this match. Number one, Mark, you have a note here about batting first in the stadium. I guess, what did you find with that?
Just doing a little research on the grounds, that it's one of the few stadiums where the team batting first has a better record than the team batting second.
Okay. Yeah, most teams.
And we saw that, actually. The last match that was played there was Rajasthan against Sunrisers, and Rajasthan came out first and wrecked the place.
So I think more often than not, just strategically, maybe five times last year, the team opted to bat first, and this might be why. It's just a particular venue, or if there's an expected change with dew, humidity, stuff like that, changes the bowling depending on the strength of your bowlers. Sometimes you do that, but almost always you'll choose to field first if you win the bat flip. This might be one time where that changes. So keep an eye on that. And, you know, I already mentioned Dewan, but his battery mate there for part of the year, or part of the, it seemed like part of a year. There was a long stand between the two of them. Do you believe in Singh? Prabh Simran Singh. He went for 60 versus the Rajasthan Royals today, but he only has 8 IPL innings with a total of 147 runs. But he looked really good. Are you excited about him at all, or do you think this was a flash in the pan, Mark?
Where did he bat? Do you remember?
That is a good question.
Is he a closer or an opener?
So he opened. He opened with Dewan.
He opened.
And he went for 60 on 34 with 7 fours and 3 sixes. Strike rate of 176. That dude was trying to prove something, it seemed like.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds good. He looked decent in the previous match too. Not as good. 23 on 12 balls, 2 fours, 2 sixes. Is he cheap? Yeah, I guess to answer your question, I'm excited to put him in, but if he's a batter and it's between him and Dewan, I'm probably going to keep picking Dewan for now.
Sure. And so that, you know, is so he's an uncapped, which is why I made, which is why he was
uncapped.
On. Yeah. And he's only 6.5 credits. Awesome. So,
okay.
So the reason, so yes, he jumped onto everybody's radar today, but I, you know, was really interested because I was looking for a good uncapped when I was building my team today for this. I ended up going with Jitesh Sharma, which was fine. He did good, but now you have this other option for an uncapped when Punjab's playing. He's cheap, he's uncapped, and I'm wondering, especially if you have a long-term absence, even if it's just a few games from Rajapaksa, I feel like that elevates his role. He's already opening and Rajapaksa doesn't, but it might change sort of what he might intend to stick around a little longer because the bats coming up behind him might not be as promising.
Yeah, sure.
So I think his role is a little elevated. And then he proved something today. So he is on my radar for sure.
Yeah. Hearing that he's uncapped is great. I mean, if he's for this match we're talking about, he's clearly the best uncapped option. I'm sure he's going to be on lots of rosters. I'm also a little more willing to swing for the fences with my uncapped pick because it's free and I'd rather get somebody that has a chance at scoring 100 points or fantasy points, that is, than have someone who I just am expecting 20 or 25.
Sure.
I'd rather take the dart throw a bit more I will say one reason I'm excited about Adam Markram that I didn't mention before is he is a batter on Dream 11, but he also bowls. He got 2 wickets at the ODI that he just played in. And I remember he bowled last year. Now, that having been said, Sunrisers have some decent bowlers. So
it's probably their strengths.
I expect him to be one of these guys we talked about who maybe last year he bowled, but this year I wouldn't expect him to see him do more than 1 or 2 overs every now and then.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those situational matchup type things, but he's a great batsman. So definitely pump some life into that team that maybe wasn't there offensively. But let's change gears. We'll jump into our last segment here. I've just called this the bang for the buck segment. So what we're looking for here is not necessarily the cheapest player in any given category, but sort of a good balance between, the cost, credit and what they've produced so far. So out of the game that we were just talking about, Prabh Simran Singh, if you go to the batting category, at only 6.5 credits, he's got 130 points in Dream 11 so far. Compare that to somebody else that I like in that category, Tilak Varma at 8.5 credits, more expensive, but also uncapped, and 127 credits. So everybody knows, like, oh, Varma had a big game, and granted, he's only had the one. But those are two guys, if you're looking for bargain basement batters, definitely to keep your eye on. And then somebody else we already mentioned in the uncapped category, Sai Sundarsan. 7 credits. Yep. He's the top uncapped player. So not only is he cheap, but if you look at production from uncapped players, he's the number one at 161 in 2 matches.
Yeah, and I think he falls into the category of Prabh Simran Singh, differentiated them from Varma, where I think everybody knows Varma's name now. And whereas these guys, Sundarsan and especially Prabh Simran Singh, because there's like 60 players in the IPL with the last name Singh, they get kind of confusing. These two
gets kind of confused. Singh, you said?
Confused Singh. That's right.
Yeah, these guys might be on the radar now. If you've got home league mates that are paying close of attention, there's no more stealth mode with these guys. The word is out, but you can stay ahead of a lot of people. And this is just information. Again, this is not campaigning that you play these people over somebody else. But when you're looking for uncapped guys or cheap guys to fill out your roster, that's what this is mostly for. Why don't you talk to us a little bit, Mark, about the overseas guys that look good in this category?
Well, I was just looking. I see you've got a few listed here. I was surprised to see Nathan Ellis is only 7 credits. You don't see a lot of overseas players who actually play who are that cheap. That's pretty nice.
I'm gonna double check on that because that does seem crazy.
No, it is. I got it open. I got it open
okay,
right here.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He's 7. He's actually the top scoring player. Under 7 credits yeah. Or under.
Yep, that's actually one of the categories I was thinking about putting into this on the show doc, but it was like it just kind of got crazy because those categories aren't. It's what under 7, 7 to 9, and above. It's like it created way too many players to have to sort through. But yeah, Nathan Ellis exploded onto the screen, and the other one in the overseas category. That's what we're talking about here is Mark Wood, who is
he's obviously great right now.
He's got what 7 wickets or 8 mm-hmm. wickets or something on the season already. Hard to ignore that.
In our league, I make our championship trophies with my little cricket bat and a wood burning kit. So I'm a big fan of Mark Wood.
There you go. if for no other reason to start him, there it is. So we've talked about uncapped. We talked about batters. Let's look at wicket keepers. Nicholas Pooran at 9 credits. He scored 132 points. He is an overseas player, which sucks. And we're also looking at the impending return of Cutie Cock in the next game. but proven it so far, and I still think there's room for three wicket keepers. He is a cutie. On this team. So great production for his value so far. Keep that in mind. And then I mentioned this guy earlier, especially because of the wicketkeeper position being uncapped. But Jitesh Sharma at 6.5 credits has 75 points on the season. Uncapped freebie is great. And I like guys like that, because sometimes I'm trying to clear house on wicketkeepers, because a lot of the best wicketkeepers are very expensive, but you still have to have one player up there. So at 6.5 credits, if he's anywhere coming up in the next 3 to 5 matches, I can have him sitting there and have it not really crunch my budget and count on getting at least some kind of production out of him when he rolls back around.
Yeah, this is it's playing back to something we said in the preseason, that batters tend to be a good bargain bin if you need an uncapped player or someone with low credits, so you can bring a more expensive player in. Wicketkeepers, it's tough. It's definitely tougher. There's not as many good options that are cheap at wicketkeeper, and there's so many good wicketkeepers that are expensive that oftentimes you don't end up putting the cheap guys in there. But like you said, if you're trying to move those guys out so you can get expensive players elsewhere, throwing in Jitesh Sharma, I mean, he seems pretty reliable so far. Not a huge hitter, but reliable. And all rounders are the same way. There's not a ton of them. In fact, I'm looking at the under seven credits and under. There's only one that's done anything so far, and that's Vijay Shankar for Gujarat.
Have you seen the face this guy makes when he's batting?
No.
It is an intensity stare. So maybe that's where he's come up with his 79 points. He, like, when they're showing him and he's got his batting helmet on and there's like a side angle a little bit, it's just like he's got a little bit of a darker complexion and you just see a giant eyeball searing towards the bowler. And I can only imagine, you know, charging up on the attack on that guy and just totally losing focus for what I'm doing. I don't know if it's just, you know, some kind of tactic he's got, or if he just zeroes in or whatever, but he looks kind of maniacal. So if nothing else, you know, again, I love having guys on my team that when I'm watching the game are entertaining to watch, like play both sides of the game, win Dream 11, win, you know, your league, but also like win because you're having fun and having more fun than other people. So sometimes you just sort of end up with, you know, sort of a relationship with some of these guys. And this guy, you know, is kind of a crazy eyes. I was pointing that out to my wife. She was watching some of the games. And then I was also pointing out how I think that Josh Butler kind of looks like Bradley Cooper, you know, so that's something else, you know, when you're just Charlie looking for reasons to start guys and not. But
or if you're looking for ways to get your wife into cricket, watch the office with you.
Which is really what I was doing. But Vijay Shankar is great in that position. 79 points in both of those, the two matches that he's played. That's about a split. Some that could be deceiving. Yeah. It's not like he had like 70 and 9. It was like 37 and 40 whatever. So it was, you know, reasonably assumable production from a guy like that. But the last category here is bowlers, and I'll just take the wind out of your sails right away for that one. The best in the category is Nathan Ellis. As far as bang for the buck, we already talked about him, you know, in the overseas category. But there's another name here, Mark. What do you think about it?
Oh, Arshdeep. I mean, another Singh, and he's been great. He was good last year too, but he's really started off on fire this year.
Singing his praises.
I think I had him on his first match, but didn't get pick him up for this next one, which is on me. Sorry,
Archie. the only thing that's, you know, talking about bang for the buck, he is 8.5 credits, which isn't super high. But that's not like a bargain. It's just that compared to his price and a lot of these other names from years past that are in that similar range, you know, Deepak Chahar, any of these guys, as far as cost range, they haven't really lit off yet. But Arshdeep Singh came into this league, into this tournament, 100% ready to rock and roll. So you don't have to break the bank for him. He's kind of a mid-level cost. But that mid-level cost is being way, it's being paid for. Your return on investment is excellent with him. I think he's got 6 wickets on the year already and 185 points. So he looks like a great value, even if he's not a bargain. He's a great value at the bowler position.
Yeah, there's one other I didn't put on this list, but I want to mention, and I might be eating my words. We'll find out tomorrow because he plays for Royal Challengers. It's Karan Sharma.
Yeah, he looked legitimate.
He looked good, and he bowled 4 overs. He was one of only 3 bowlers to do that. The others were Muhammad Siraj and Harshal Patel, who are both mainstays of Royal Challengers. Otherwise, they spread it pretty thin. They gave Glenn Maxwell a chance, Michael Bracewell, Reese Topley had out. 2 overs. Oh, he's out.
Reese Topley had a shoulder injury, so he won't be cutting into anybody's workload.
Yeah,
but who knows what he'll be replaced with. But no, I that dude looked like he was ready to play in the league for sure. So Karan Sharma, thanks for bringing him up. I'll have to take a second look at him.
Yeah, he's the highest point total for bowlers, 7 credits and under, who's only played 1 match. 3 guys above him, Hangerman, okay. Nathan Ellis, and Trash Panda, they've all played 2 matches.
Tushar Deshpande. I love the Trash Panda.
Hey, he's great at the end of the game. They get some garbage time.
Yeah.
Get those garbage wickets.
I love it. All right.
We love you, Tushar.
Yeah, we genuinely do. That seems like a perfect reason to go ahead and end the podcast. I don't know how we're supposed to top that. First of all, we're out of things to say. Second of all, there's crickets in the room now. So let's go ahead and
crickets.
Love wrap it. Yeah, see, you know what I'm doing.
You did it. We should have stopped. Why did we keep going?
Damn it. Okay. Kill it. We're done. Have a good night, everybody. Good day, morning, whenever you listen to this. Mark, I'll talk to you soon. It's been a good one.
All right. Take it easy, man. See you later.